Best wishes to all of the folks listening to this recording today. You're going to have a terrific time. I always enjoy my conversations with my dear friend Jim Hamilton from the state of Arizona. I'm Rob Christie, an aging grandpa from San Clemente, California. And among other things, we want to address the following question. Let's suppose you're a house, and as a house, you have windows and doors. And what comes to you through those windows and doors are opportunities to move out of resistance into a process which is going to take you from highly resistive to open to possibility, and eventually open to the possibility of being one with God. Jim, take it away.
All right. So appreciate the opportunity to be here. And what we were talking about was the idea that consciousness is a product of allowing. And I think earlier we were talking about wounds and different kinds of belief systems people have, and different kinds of situations that people have, all of which have to be let go of, or any of them are opportunities to move into courage, to step into what's next. And I think that's the metaphor for windows and doors, and being a house with all kinds of different opportunities, all kinds of different channels of, in other words, there's so many ways we can bump consciousness. There's so many ways we can move into growth. And actually, we could pick from hundreds, or all the different doors in our house, all the different windows. They're all venues for changing, for the beginning process of changing our mind about becoming conscious. Because the rigidity of how we hold our perceptions, our unwillingness to have new perceptions, is how we maintain our shortcomings. And so your analogy of a home or a house with windows and doors, any of those are venues by which we can, I say, grab the bull by the horn. It's actually the opposite. Any of those venues are where we can start allowing, because that becomes a stream of good where once it was rigidity. So we're touching on the map of consciousness and how people move up the map, with the scale being 0 to 1,000, 0 to under 200, states of apathy, fear, grief, anxiety, rage, and pride at 175, 200 being courage, which is the breakpoint on the map, because it takes courage to move from pride, or courage to move from the different kinds of overload and resistance and a resentment we hold for another. You know, we all seem to do that. I'm no exception. I've got my little bits of that as well. But it's in allowing what we once resisted that our growth begins. And these doorways and windows are all opportunities to find a place where we can start moving up the map into allowing and neutrality and peace and reason, spiritual reason. And so as we do, we start to become blended with source, and being blended with source allows the quality of our reality creating to improve, for which the quote we used a little bit ago was, the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source. So as we move up the map of consciousness, as we move into more allowing, more neutrality, less resistance, the quality of our reality creating is going to show up as a reflection of that. Therefore, the idea of a scorecard.
Listening to you, I'm thinking of an old Irish quotation: the devil ye know is better than the devil ye don't. Turns out that's exactly wrong. That if you don't summon the requisite courage to let go of the devil ye know, then your opportunity to move up that map is non-existent.
But what if the devil isn't really real and all the devil is an opportunity? So what's the quote again?
The devil ye know is better than the devil ye don't.
So the opportunity that you have, so a lot of people hold on to what they have instead of letting go to have more. So that's a similar analogy on that same, I mean, it's the same thing. Most of it, look at it, people at the very bottom and simply getting worse. But a lot of people have a rigidity. They have a certain kind of comfort. That's it. And they live the rest of their life like that. And then when they get to their dying day, they go, huh, I wonder if I could have used all of this better. So I'm working on right now some really...
Well, you indicate the transition, that courage is the transition point.
Yeah.
On that scale.
That's right. So let's say you have stasis. Your comfort is whatever it is. You watch your same TV programs. You watch your football games. You do everything you do on Sunday. You go to work on Monday. You do it every day. I mean, that's not a particularly good analogy. It's not one I prefer to use. But and then, you know, for example, some people then retire. And then a couple of years later, they have a heart attack because they've always done the same thing. And now they're out in the wide open and they're not really prepared for it. So that's really an old, old, old analogy. But consciousness is a product of learning how to let go, for which the unknown really is unknown until you really get a handle on it, and then you realize it's all about enabling a natural state of connection with source. And it's in that magic that the whole thing really opens up. And that's where we all want to get. And then we become exponential. We become exponentially contributive to each other. Some of us are going to be first. More than
say,
ever.
Say a little bit more about how you personally experience source that would be helpful to our audience.
All right. So first off, the frequency of God, or frequency of God, is a relatively new term. It comes from when I started identifying coherence and God as coherence as being the closest thing you'll be able to define God as. But what I find evidence of my connection with spirit or God is the scale of the synchronicity, harmony, and order that increases in my life. So we all have synchronicity, but it's when it really elevates that it becomes not even second nature, it becomes first nature. Because if you think about it, we've all had the experience of flow. We've all, and then when we realize we're in flow, then we start second guessing it. There's your mind kind of interfering. But flow actually is abundance and synchronicity combined. That's what flow is. And you can't get to flow with the mind. It's a letting go process. So partnering with God looks like levels.
Excuse the interruption.
Yep.
Tell me again those two elements that combine to make flow.
I think what I said was prosperity. What was it? Prosperity and synchronicity. So synchronicity, harmony, and order, and prosperity are all the same thing. Synchronicity, harmony, and order, and prosperity are all the same thing. And that is what flow is made of. Because when you move into flow, there's no mind. And by the way, when you're in flow, there is no time. And by the way, when you're in flow, there is no resistance. Mind, time, and resistance are actually synonymous. We need to teach you some shorthand. Luckily, we're recording this.
Well, in the fourth grade, I stopped doing cursive and started printing because I discovered I could go faster.
There we go. There we go. So the frequency of God, we learn how to become blended with source. And again, the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source. And, you know, that's been part of our something we've repeated several times today, even in an earlier video, and what that allowing is how you get there. And allowing takes courage. Courage is letting go. It's the courage to let go to something bigger.
In your role as a teacher and creator of processes that, you know, support other people, is the bottom line about putting out there the possibility and then you personally let go, or steering people in a particular direction that from your experience maximizes the possibility that they will be open to possibility that they haven't been open to before? You know, how does that work for you and what you've created, Jim?
Well, you know, first off, the mind is limited by what it already knows. Its ability to project forward is limited by what it knows. So there's so many things that aren't available to the mind until it's been exposed to it by some mechanism, because the mind and intuition are not of the same world. The mind is a lot more linear than that. And intuition and the mind often second guesses intuition. So clearly they're not from the same source. What I'm interested in is introducing people to ideas. And it's by the way, it works much better for people that are looking for more. So I'm available with what I call insights or tools for people that are looking for them. And frankly, the tools I have, I consider to be a little bit more sophisticated than what most people have out there teaching. And there's all the different spectrums and octaves of teaching and learning. But I think partly because I have had maybe far more access to presence than most. And again, not that many people have almost 50 years background in meditation, but the core resonance has delivered so very much more. But I prefer to work with, first off, if you can't hear me or if you can't hear new ideas, then they're not going to be much good to you. So there's some people that are actually looking for this. And that's where my audience is found. And some people, when I say are looking harder, or some people are more advanced. So what I really like to think is what I have are advanced tools for people that are more conscious, that want to bump up, I won't say faster, but there comes a point where people can take more advanced tools than they might have a couple of years ago. And accordingly, you know, I now have Visionaries Lab, which is mind-based tools, Core Resonance, which is a nervous system-based tool, and then the 508 Communities, which is different again. But so my job is to attempt to deliver what I think I know as clearly as I can to resonate with a certain component of the audience, because to drop my stuff down too far would water it down to reach a too big of an audience. And I don't see that. So I would rather take people that are 350 on the map and bump them to 550 or to 600. Those are huge jumps, but Core Resonance is capable of that. And so,
well, I remember the day we met. It's easy to remember because it was my 74th birthday.
Okay, I guess that's right. I remember that.
We've been friends a year and a half now. And during one of the breaks at the seminar we were attending, you mentioned that you had discovered a tool that you felt was more powerful than meditation. And I almost wet my pants.
Glad you didn't. At 74, that would not be a good sign.
And the blessing was you had one of your books in the car, and I bought it at the break. And, you know, the rest is history. And just tagging a little more onto that, I experience people, you know, without sounding arrogant, who are at my level, still in a fairly significant minority, but a growing number.
That's right.
A growing number. That's my experience of what's happening in the world. And thus, a growing number of people who would be open to the tools that you have to share.
You know, I think COVID is a big demarcation between the old and the new. I don't think that we will ever go back to what was. I think there is such a vast misunderstanding about the COVID experience. I think that the COVID vaccination, that whole thing was really, really poor science. And a lot of people vaccinated, of course, they're not vaccines. It's a gene therapy, unproven. But a lot of people have come to realize that listening to others is a lot less valuable, like the government, but a lot less valuable than it used to be. In other words, we used to look to an authority figure outside of ourselves. And I think we're going to discover that the COVID 3 years, more and more people are going to start learning how to listen to themselves and take their own advice and be more clear about taking their own advice versus some institution's advice, whether it be the pharmaceutical company or even...
Which also means they're much more likely to be open to you and the processes that you have to share than they might have been before going through that horrendous experience.
So, you know, I've been, I say, biding my time. I've been doing what I've been doing. And my sense is that the work that I have to offer is becoming more relevant. And I think I've always been ahead of my time. And as I continue unabated in my direction, slowly a bigger portion of the population begins a process of waking up and maybe even with a sense of urgency, maybe. By the way, my second book, Core Resonance, Ultimate Personal Performance, is what I called when I wrote it, is a 10 chapters about the fundamental concepts of survival. And survival isn't about water and about dry food. It's about enabling your natural state of connection with source, for which decision-making and choices and right choices and all of that becomes far, far, far more available. And this is what humans need to be teaching to each other, all things human. I have a nonprofit organization, House of Coherence, and the theme of the whole thing is all things human. We don't need to be listening to institutions for their version of what humans should be doing. We have access to guidance. We need to be building that. We need to be enabling that. We need to be growing that. We need to be teaching it to and through each other and becoming empowered by our connection with source. We don't need the kind of thing that empowers artificial entities, the institutions, whatever. We humans need to plug into source, become empowered, learn how to share it. That's the game. That's the game. The only game.
Yeah, and some people would assert that the whole COVID experience is ultimately a blessing because it's accelerating the process of waking up for a very large number of people. If you've had a relative die, or if you've had a personal negative experience as a result of the so-called vaccines, that can be a real eye-opener.
Yeah, I don't follow this stuff very closely. And of course, I wouldn't vaccinate under any conditions. But somebody I read says 1,600%, even in just the last few months, 1,600% increase in sudden death. We've got football players falling over. We've got people that we know in Hollywood that are falling over with heart attacks and for no reason, for no good reason. And everybody, you know, I'll just leave it at that. And so as people become more aware, and there's different things, different openings and different windows and different doors in their life, that they begin to doubt the status quo as being really an acceptable and the best way for them to go forward by partnering with the state, by partnering with the pharmaceutical companies, by partnering with the school system as an institution that delivers knowledge, because the knowledge and what these institutions deliver is really incomplete. It is really incomplete, and it doesn't serve the humans. And so all I'm saying is that we need to learn how to go within. We need to learn to discover our connection with source. We need to learn how to build on that. I've been doing it a whole lifetime. And I've acquired, you know, I've got 5 books, 180 articles. I've got technologies now divided into, you know, what I call mind-based, which soaring affirmations is a component of that. I'm working with a gentleman. We'll be talking about him one day, and right-hand spin and left-hand spin. And so we're at 19 minutes now. Maybe we can wrap this up in a few minutes and go on to a third segment. And but teaching, but so what? So all I can do is be available. I don't have any choice. You know, it's not like I'm chasing money or trying to get paid. What I'm trying to do is deliver what's inside of me that's important to let out. In fact, I couldn't not do it. I'm partnered with something bigger than myself. I'm actually a host for the frequency of God expressing through me. Then the less resistance I have, the more that expresses through me. It's going to resonate with some people. And what I want to do is be helpful to humans learning more about their very nature, because in that we become very, very, very wise, and we make better choices, and we have better.
Anything outcomes. Else you want from me before we conclude this segment?
No, I think your analogy about house and home and windows and doors really means that we have all kinds of opportunities to grab something by the hand and decide here is where we're going to change our mind about how we think about something. So we have lots of venues where we can start by, you know, forgiveness is a great example. I mean, forgiveness is mind-based, so there's nothing wrong. But we've got to move away from resistance and rigidity, because it shuts us down and it keeps us from our connection. I would even tell you that there's parties out there that like to see the humans fighting among themselves, because it becomes their attention and their focus. How are we going to be plugged into God and learning about building that connection when you're fighting with the people you don't like, and all this polarity just drags us down? We need to learn how to become singular in our focus. 10 commandments started with thou shalt have no other gods before me. That goes back 8,000 years. 10 commandments was earlier found in the Book of the Dead, Egyptian Book of the Dead. 8,000 year teaching, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We've got to go back to that. And we can still wear suits, and we can still drive convertibles, and we can still, in fact, I consider myself wild and crazy. I don't walk around, you know, with my hands, you know, in a prayer position as I walk around the sidewalk and wear robes and this and that. I'm out doing, you know, I'm doing burgers and beer, and I'm doing all the different things I want to do. I drive 80 on the freeway all the time. You know, I'm not mamby-pamby. I'm actually pushing life. I'm actually pushing it relatively hard, because I'm here. I'm doing it my way. I don't care about the rules. That mean I need to, sorry to say, drive within the speed limit? Well, if it's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, like near where I live, do I drive 25? Absolutely.